DW Africa Link. Where is the line between legitimate prosecution and political persecution? Uganda says the law is taking its course. Critics say the courts are becoming another political battleground, as veteran opposition leader Kizza Besigye and other government critics face high-profile prosecutions. Questions are growing about judicial independence, political freedoms, and the future of democracy. So are these legitimate criminal cases or signs of a shrinking political space? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter. Uganda has had decades of political stability under President Yoweri Museveni, but concerns have steadily grown over political freedoms, opposition rights, and the independence of state institutions. Those concerns are once again in the spotlight, centered on Dr. Kizza Besigye, a four-time presidential candidate and former ally who is now Museveni's fiercest critic. Besigye has been in detention since November 2024 and is facing treason charges for allegedly plotting to overthrow President Museveni's government. He recently collapsed in court during a hearing. Besigye's wife, Winnie Byanyima, the executive director of UNAIDS, has since called for the immediate release of her husband, who she says is very frail and needs urgent medical care.
I've just arrived to be with my spouse, my life partner, Dr. Kizza Besigye. As you know, he collapsed during his court session and was admitted here at the hospital in Mulago, where he's getting treatment. I found him lying there asleep, but he's very drained. He looked very weak. Opened his eyes, he still cannot talk. I have not come to ask for sympathy. No. I've come to insist calmly but firmly that Dr. Kizza Besigye is entitled to every right and protection guaranteed by the Constitution of Uganda. Nothing more, nothing less. That is his right, as it is for every other Ugandan. So I'm not asking for favors. I'm not asking anyone to bend the law. I'm simply asking that the Constitution of Uganda is respected.
So what's really going on? Let's get more from a former presidential aspirant, Yvonne Mpambara, who is a lawyer and a human rights defender. Also joining us is DW's Frank Yiga in Kampala, Uganda. Welcome to Africa Link. Yvonne, what does the Besigye case tell us about the state of political freedoms and the rule of law in Uganda?
Thank you so much for hosting me. We have been at the forefront of Dr. Kanokiza Besigye's case, and I would say that there isn't a single verdict here per se. The honest answer is that it's the pattern of the current cases that is being contested. Majority of us who are alarmed to the accumulation of the cases have realized that Dr. Kizza Besigye joins a couple of other political figures that have largely been targeted by these sort of cases. And I would say it's not just Uganda. There's also precedent that is now setting a pace in Tanzania as well. We don't know if it will develop in Kenya, but we will not hold our breath, because majority of the times these countries end up mirroring each other, and they end up copying each other. But it's the fact that Dr. Besigye has been held without bail since November 2024, and his lead lawyer, Erias Rukwago, was also arrested and charged, but also continuously the fact that a cross-border Kenyan lawyer, Martha Karua, who is also a huge political figure in Kenya, but has also been very prominent in a cross-border legal action, was also barred and deported from representing Dr. Kizza Besigye, and yet she has been part of his case since 2024. So taken together, a majority of these precedents are slowly showing that it looks less like an ordinary law enforcement and more like the legal system being used to narrow the political space. Of course, the government's position is that each case rests on its own evidence and merit, and that treason especially is a serious prosecutable offense, regardless of the accused's political profile. So I would say that what can be said, especially from a more neutral point of view, is that the volume and timing of these prosecutions, especially when they are clustered around opposition figures, and of course arising from the fact that the 2026 elections had been contested very viciously, itself becomes something that most of us treat as a meaningful indicator. Even if it doesn't settle the question of intent, the question now largely remains around this particular pattern being contested.
Right. Thank you very much for that. So when a veteran opposition leader like Kizza Besigye, who has challenged the government for decades, is prosecuted for treason, I'm just wondering what standards of evidence or criteria must be met to convince the public that it is justice and not politics that is driving the case?
The criteria that should be followed, I would say for the beginning, should be whether the underlying conduct is genuinely criminal, and if it's protected elsewhere and it's been protected in all our legal and legislation, then it becomes questionable if the particular underlying conduct for which they're being criminalized is actually illegal, and it's a case for them to actually answer before the courts. But it's also questioning whether due process is being respected, and that includes access to counsels of choice, and timely charges, the bail eligibility comparable to similarly charged non-political defendants. It becomes very key to question it based off that. I think if you've been following the trend, it's a fact that the core lawyers for Dr. Besigye have all been targeted. The extra lawyers that have been on the case are now in exile, but also his lead counsel is actually in prison with him. So we have to contest that. And additionally, the state, through the judiciary, has insisted on giving him lawyers, showing that it's likely not to be a balanced trial. We also have to question whether the timing correlates with the political events, especially now that we've just recently concluded elections. There have been a lot of protests towards certain state actions, but also the fact that Dr. Kano Kizza Besigye was arrested just shortly before elections, or around the time that, you know, majority of political figures were organizing to prepare for elections, becomes rather contested than the alleged offense itself. It's whether the state actions also single out the person's political role. They've interfered with his legal team, as we've given the examples of his lead counsel Lukwago, his other lead counsel Karua Matha, who was deported from Uganda when she entered the airport. It's a fact that, you know, the state is directly interfering with this particular political figure who has been on detention without trial.
Right. So with all that you're saying, what I'm getting is you're saying this is basically politically motivated. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. We believe it is.
Right. Well, the government insists that the courts are acting independently and that the law is taking its course. You don't believe that, do you?
This is genuinely, it has been disputed, and I'd rather lay out the case each side makes an assumption to answer. Of course, from our side as skeptics, we point to Uganda's history of executive dominance under a presidency in power since 1986. There have been prior rulings seen as differential to the state in high-profile political cases, and the specific friction in the Besigye trial where he has objected to court-appointed lawyers. His lawyers have been barred from entering the country. But alongside that, the justice that is presiding over his case has insisted on continuing the trial despite these objections. Of course, when you go to the defenders of the judiciary, they would insist that courts are following procedure, and they would base that on the constitutional requirements that, you know, capital offense defendants have representation, even if it's not of their first choice, and that adverse rulings against a popular figure aren't automatically evidence of bias, but would continue to say that due to that history where the state has largely interfered in so many other institutional power and has diverted how they do their operations, and the fact that there have been so many independent monitors that have called out this particular precedent that has been set over time, we've slowly realized that it's a case that is biased, and all the issues that we've stated above are largely leaning towards the fact that this is definitely a politically sensitive case, and that Dr. Kano Kizza-Besigye is actually being targeted with this particular treason case.
You yourself are a lawyer, right? But what I'm getting is you say that Uganda's judiciary is not really independent.
We believe it's not being independent right now.
Right. It sounds very convenient from your side because, you know, you're basically in the opposition. A system that you yourself are a part of, you are basically accusing it of not being independent. That sounds like a dilemma you must be going through every day, waking up to go to work and thinking the courts or the judiciary system is not independent.
It largely bases on the fact that these have been reported over time. If you look at the fact that there have been restrictions on choice of counsel or on choice of lawyers for these particular political figures, it will largely incline to the fact that the state is trying to interfere or the judiciary has been compromised, that is trying to interfere in a biased way, because we also have a lot of legislation that is set in terms of what representation should look like, and the fact that they've interfered to arrest a lead counsel, which has never even happened before, but now it has largely compromised the nature of this case, and the fact that, you know, Dr. Kano Kizza-Besigye has been on prolonged pretrial detention, which is definitely against the law, without proper trial, and concerns about his health right now. He collapsed in court recently. I think in the past, the other week, he collapsed in court and he was being denied access to proper independent medical care. So it largely lays to human rights abuses that can be seen, that have largely been reported, but also have been weighed heavily by a lot of even independent monitors from international legal observers, from bar associations, as credible sources for judging this particular, for judging either sides, that this is definitely not a legal precedent that should be set, and that the case is leaning towards a more biased point of view where the case is largely being interfered with.
Right. Thank you very much, Yvonne, for that. Frank, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm sure you've also been keenly listening to the submission from Yvonne. I think let's pick it up from one of Yvonne's final words, which was the collapse of the veteran opposition leader, Dr. Kizza-Besigye. What do we know about his health or his current condition, Frank?
Well, what we're reporting on ground is that he's still hospitalized and still in the intensive care unit. And there, at least the reports we got from his relatives, the wife and sister, indicate that he's unable to speak. He can hear but cannot utter a word. So that puts him in a delicate situation. And it also gathers sympathy from Ugandans who've been following this case all along. And I've picked keen interest on how the direction it takes.
Right, exactly. What's been the response overall? I mean, are there people pointing fingers about how this case is being treated, his condition? What are people largely saying?
Well, the people say that the state has a hand in his case. It is politically motivated, and they believe that the president one time had a State of the Nation address, or let me call it a speech, where he said that victims, not rather prisoners or suspects like Kizza Besigye should not be granted bail. So that statement alone has sent a strong message to Ugandans that perhaps he has a hand in the case of Kizza Besigye and the dilemma he's undergoing. So the people believe that the state is haunting him, and they don't know how far they want him to go down. But still, it's in black and white that the state, the president, his son, who's also tweeted so many times on X, that he wants him dead. So when you put all these together, you've definitely come to a conclusion that they have a hand in his dilemma, and we don't know where they want him, either dead or they want him, you know, in that state he's in. So people are just wondering how far this can go. The fact that they denied him bail, and even when he fell sick, he collapsed in the courts of law. I mean, there was no any action of sympathy that was accorded to him. So it puts people in fear that maybe Besigye's fate is in the hands of those holding him.
How is the local media able to report on such cases, the proceedings and all of it? Free and fair reporting, or what's the challenge?
Yeah, it's free and fair reporting. Let me say that, because we report about these cases freely. I mean, we've done them on different media platforms. But to a certain point, there is fear. For instance, when we go to the courts of law, to the High Court, to report about this case, you're not allowed to go with your gadgets, camera, phone, voice recorders. They're confiscated, they're held, because it's only those with sophisticated gadgets, because we've seen clips, you know, for the proceedings, court proceedings. So only those are the ones that can access, sneak them in, but you're not allowed to do that. So that alone limits us from reporting freely.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that for us. Yvonne, I'm just wondering, with all this happening on the ground and people having doubts, this must be sowing some public mistrust among state institutions, isn't it? And how dangerous is that?
This is dangerous because a majority of the times high-profile prosecutions tend to have a chilling effect that's broader than the individuals that are being charged. And this has been a well-documented pattern across many countries, not just specifically Uganda, when opposition leaders, their lawyers, and outside legal support are all targeted. It signals risk to anyone who attempts to discuss government shortfallings, but anyone also who attempts to have any form of attempts to acquire and access power. So a majority of the public has now slowly started mistrusting these particular state institutions because we realize that they are not working independently. And the perception is prominent, now that it's prominent among opposition supporters, largely because we're not seeing it really genuinely translated to across more state-leaning related, I wouldn't say criminals per se, but people that are being charged under similar cases. There's a lot more mercy, there's a lot more grace. But for these particular ones, we are seeing a very tough nail to the foot, where they're largely being sent to the extreme corners of these cases. It's less visible in state and pro-government media as well. The way they report it is slightly different from how media, the other media reports it as well, but different from how also a lot of the public is reporting it. Most of us who have been to these prisons to visit the prisoners and have been following what's happening are realizing slowly that majority of these cases are biased, but also, like Frank has said, it's watching these particular state actors saying that, you know, even if if the judiciary attempts to be more independent, that they'll cut down on how they are doing the work. So, of course, the public has picked from what the president is being said and has realized that they are not acting independently, especially if due process is not being followed. And despite the several complaints, despite the objections even from the people who are being tried themselves, that, you know, courts are not willing to listen because probably they're also scared about doing the right thing. So the public has completely lost interest and lost trust in the current state institutions.
Right. So, Yvonne, as we wrap this up, what sort of reforms would you like to see in Uganda's justice system to strengthen that public confidence that is waning, right? I mean, is it still possible to save Uganda's justice system?
Under the current government, very difficult. And especially now that Uganda starts a very serious conversation around transition, we're likely to see more of a precedent like this being set. But I would love to see more of a guaranteed and enforced rights for Dr. Kanoki's Besigye and other people on trial, especially when it comes to their representation. They should be able to choose lawyers of their choice, not lawyers that are being forced onto them by the state. And I'm calling it the state because the judiciary is not acting independently. The presumption of bail for non-violent charges, especially majority of them, and I think even before Dr. Kanoki's Besigye, there's a lot of opposition leaning Ugandans that have been in jail for years, even since 2021, even before from the 2016 elections, that have been in jail, in prison for without trial, without bond, without bail, and they've been there for long. And the president now is insisting that for certain crimes, they should not be able to access bail. And that worries us because under Uganda's constitution, they should be granted bail. They should be able to access bond at any given particular circumstance. So we are worried that also there should be clear timelines for bringing cases to trial, but that's not happening. And I would love to see that happening a lot more so that at least the public is assured of due process or proper processes being followed by the judicial institutions. And also lastly, seeing an independent oversight of detention conditions and medical access for most of these Ugandans when they are being charged with these cases. We don't want any of our people to die in prison under circumstances that could have been avoidable.
Are you confident that hopefully sooner rather than later, change will come?
That people will have to effect that change. We do not think that change will come through the system that we have right now. There's a lot more work to do.
You know what I thought your answer was going to be? That when you become president, things will change because you are a former presidential aspirant. But you didn't say that, so that's interesting.
I did not want to shoot myself in the foot because nowadays, even just claiming that you want power just puts a target on your head.
Fair enough. Keeping the fingers crossed and hoping for the best. I mean, one would argue 82 is still quite young if you think about the president of Cameroon, but just putting that out there. I've really enjoyed this discussion from the both of you. Many thanks for that. Yvonne Mpambara, former presidential aspirant, a lawyer and a human rights defender. Also, thanks to you, DW's Frank Yiga in Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you, Eddie, for hosting us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Eddie, for hosting us.
Thank you. Uganda's government says none of this is political. It says the courts are independent, the charges are serious, and the accused must answer to the law like anyone else. Reactions continue on the streets of Kampala and in Nairobi, where Besigye was abducted from.
The continued detention of Dr. Besigye, therefore, cannot be viewed in isolation. His unlawful cross-border rendition, prolonged detention, deteriorating health, and continued prosecution, despite mounting challenges to the state's own evidence, collectively point to an escalating assault on due processes, judicial independence, and the rule of law.
We demand, number one, immediate release of Dr. Kizza Besigye on humanitarian grounds. Court order authorities must immediately grant unconditional bail to Dr. Besigye to permit urgent specialized medical treatment. Drop all political motivated charges against Dr. Besigye and Haji Obidi Lutale and permit an independent international medical team to oversee Besigye ICU recovery.
Rights groups are framing this as a test of judicial independence, political pluralism, and the right to a fair hearing. I think that every democracy should be tested by how it treats its critics and not just its supporters. What do you think? Share your thoughts on Facebook and TikTok at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
Minds.